Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Yesterday we had on a three-time Super Bowl champion, teammate of Tom Terrific Brady, who is retired today after 22 years and 2 regular season losses to the Houston Texans. Teddy was great yesterday. Joel had a concern about one of the things that Teddy J said about Nick Castillo, and he's had nice things to say. Here was Teddy J on with us yesterday talking about what Castillo did in New England.
He's been here forever. He was here. You know, what was Nick Castillo, Ted? What was he doing when you were there in 2005? You know, he was on the treadmill. He was bringing Bill Belichick, you know, information and notes and scouting reports and this and that. He was getting Bill Belichick's coffee, doing his dry cleaning for him. But that was in 2005. And he worked his way up through the years. I mean, he was here a long time doing different jobs, different tasks, different roles. And he's done it all, right? And it seems like he's kind of maybe doing it all there in Houston. So the coaching side, the personnel side, the drafting side, the contract side, he's done it all. And so, to me, that's kind of a unique person to have running your organization.
All right, so that was Teddy Johnson talking about all the hats that Nick Castillo is wearing in New England and all the hats he's still wearing with the Houston Texans. What was your concern with that? Because it sounded like nice things about Nick Castillo.
Well, it's like going back to the conversation we had a few segments ago with Belichick involved in it. He was the end-all, be-all, and the only guy. And sometimes you spread yourself too thin, just like being on the headsets during games. At a certain point, you got to let go some of that control and trust the people that you've hired. Like breaking down the draft, right? You can't watch every prospect yourself. You've got to let some other guys get involved and trust that you hired the right people as a CEO type that makes the judgment call for you that says if it's between two players, my guys are telling me go this route and trust in them. Because if you hear that he's trying to do everything from being on the headsets to evaluating all the players to being in the locker room to being at practice to throwing passes to defensive backs, you're doing too much, right? Your job as the ultimate CEO is to make the all the tough decisions, but also hire the right people to make the other decisions. And so as much as I liked everything, Ted was a great interview yesterday. When he said that, that's one of the first things that came to my head when he was telling us about all he saw from Nick from starting off being on a treadmill and getting Belichick coffee to where he finished. I'm like, okay, this kind of gets into that whole being on the headset thing. This gets into, like, I don't care if you did it in New England. Now find someone else to do it so you can do other things. Because you're also kind of micromanaging the people that you need to trust in a game day situation.
Yeah, the word Ted said that kind of caught my attention was that he's wearing his hat on the coaching side. Which, I mean, what is he doing as a coach? You can say he's doing quite a bit as a coach, right? Like, how many assistant coaches did he hire versus how many assistant coaches did David Culley hire whenever they built this coaching staff after year one? I would argue Castillo had more hires of assistant coaches than David Culley did. I know a lot of other people would say, don't freak out about the headset thing. Who cares? He was just listening in. Well, he wasn't just listening in. He was telling David Culley what to do. We know of one example of that. He was telling David Culley to let the New England Patriots score. Now, he was right. It's fair to say that if you want to tell the whole side of the story. He was correct in the fact that from a game management point of view, that letting the Patriots score in that situation increases your chances of winning, but he was still telling the head coach what to do. I feel like the perception of that is a negative as well when it comes to hiring coaches in the future. And we talked earlier about these four finalists. Isn't like this great final four that you have that you can hire is some of that because of the perception that is out there with the fact that Nick Castillo was talking to David Culley and telling him what to do against the New England Patriots.
Also think about the fact of how many national NFL guys, ex-players, ex-GMs, and media types that we've talked about that immediately turned to that example and said, that's a negative.
Yep.
That's not supposed to be happening anymore with a general manager. And again, like I said, look, and I, even from my own experiences, there were things that I did before I got into a management position on the broadcasting side behind the scenes that I realized if I continued to do would not work out well because everybody would be looking over their shoulder and they wouldn't be able to do the jobs that they were hired to do. And so at a certain point, you have to relinquish some of that control for the betterment of the franchise because you can't do it all. You can't. That's like Daryl Morey saying that all by himself with no help, he was going to do all the analytics and crunch all the numbers and put them all on the computer and do all those things and then watch the team on the court every day in practice and be in every film session and be in every locker room and then also go across the country and scout all the college games and see all those. And then while you're at it, on top of that, watch League Pass and follow up with the league so you can make trades. You have to relinquish some of that control, Nick Caserio, if you're going to be successful.
Yeah, you wear yourself thin. And one other thing, too, is like I watch every Nick Caserio GM show that he has on HoustonTexans.com with Vandermeer and with Harris. And he mentioned at one point that he watches film of the next opponent. So if he's watching film of the next opponent, like he's in some way having some say in game preparation. Like, is he just doing that for fun? Is he doing that to write out a report that he's giving to these assistant coaches? I think it's something that has never been asked of him that I think probably should be asked of him. But like the fact that he's scouting the next opponent's weird to me when you're a GM and you're supposed to be scouting the entire league to see, okay, if there's a free agent out there, do we want to make this move? If a guy hit waivers, do we want to make this move? I feel like he is kind of wearing himself too thin. Whenever you look at all of the different hats he's wearing. And I think he does dabble in the coaching side. Like, he might not be the head coach of this team, but if he's hiring, and we've talked about this, the four candidates that are left, Brian Flores, Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown, Jonathan Gannon, the only equal would be Brian Flores. The other three guys, O'Connell, McCown, and Gannon, would be working under him, right?
Yeah.
And I think that point that you make is a good one. But the other three guys will be working under him. It's why I don't actually consider Brian Flores a real candidate for this job because
and
I don't see Nick Caserio hiring an equal.
But I think that when you talk about, like, you don't want to be forced into a position where everybody else is telling you, you got to do this because you need guys that are at least going to push back. And I gave you the obvious in business or otherwise, you want to hire someone that eventually is talented enough to take your job. You want to hire someone that has strengths where you have weaknesses so that you can be more complete as whatever organization you're running. And at a certain point, scouting the next opponent is something that your advanced scouts do. You want to go through tape? That's what your assistant coaches do. You're supposed to be doing the things that you do, which is evaluating the roster and trying to make it better and looking at talent for the draft and figuring out hires and fires and who's going to be around with cap issues. So those are the kind of things that you got to focus on because those are that's the crux of your job. It's not being on the headset to interject during games, and it's not being an advanced scout watching the next team.
Yeah, I'm with you in the sense that he should be hiring an equal. I just don't predict that he's going to. I predict it's going to be.
And
an
I don't
O'Connell
disagree with you because I think that he's the right guy. He won't pick him
right
for those very reasons.
The one time I saw Nick Caserio on a field was he was at a U of H game and he was looking at some players, I guess draft eligible players. He left before the game.
What?
Yeah, he watched like
he was Barry Warner.
He was on the field.
He showed up for the meal and the handshakes and then
no,
he left?
No, he didn't show up for the meal because he doesn't eat.
Oh, that's true.
But no, he was on the field but, like during the stretching and like the little warm-up stuff that they do, going through like the plays, like kind of the walkthrough before the game. Mm-hmm. You know how that is in a football game. And he was watching the players and I guess like just seeing them up close and in person. And then before, like when they went in for the final time before kickoff, yeah, he went up the ramp, walked out of the stadium and like it was away
so
from the press box.
So he didn't go to the press box.
I can't say. Yeah, he went away from the press box. Okay. So I can't say for sure that he left the game, but I mean, you're walking up the stairs, out the stadium, towards the parking lot, away from the press box. I think it's safe to say that Nick Caserio didn't stick around for the game.
Huh. Isn't that kind of weird? That is a little bit different.
Now, you're going to watch it on film. You're going to see all that. So like, maybe the like in-person, in-game stuff is not all that valuable.
I think a lot of times what they would tell you is, in my experiences dealing with personnel guys is, I had to see him in person for myself on tape. How big was he really?
Right.
How tall? How physical? You know. Let me see him.
You want to get a piece
of
what
he
looks
like. Yeah, let me see him during workouts to see the hip turn or the footwork or whatever you're looking at, whatever position they play. But I think that you've got enough game tape to watch how they compete.
And you probably see more on like an all 22 game footage than you do like live and in person. So I'm not saying that like I disagree with it. I just found it to be kind of weird.
Well, but then he misses out on great Daryl Morey social media opportunities to tweet where he's at and tweet the environment.
I can miss me with that.
Okay.
I don't like that. I don't like greatness that is proclaimed. You know what I mean?
I'm with you on that, but I live with it.
Yeah, you did.
In a previous life.
So we have a poll going on trying to come up with a consensus pick, a consensus killer beast pick on who we want as the Texans head coach. You made a pitch for Flores. Brendan made a pitch for Gannon. I made a pitch for Kevin O'Connell, which I know comes to the surprise of many. Why am I not pitching Josh McCown? But the polls as it is right now, no surprise, Brian Flores is your heavy leader at 61%. Mm-hmm. Kevin O'Connell currently at
second
place.
Are you calling him fat?
What did I say?
Heavy leader?
No, I say he's the heavy leader because of the margin of separation
between first and second.
Because we
don't want to fat shame on this show.
Brian Flores is changing now in real time. 61% Brian Flores. Kevin O'Connell is at 30%. And Jonathan Gannon is at 9%.
I'm interested if we put McCown in there just as the wild card if anybody vote for him. Because I don't think that they would besides you. If you had a second vote.
Well, McCown's third on my list.
Here's the other thing, which you guys aren't even thinking about. And this is the way that our hive listens. Brian Flores is a killer bee. Okay, he's the only one that's a bee, so he's in.
Jeremy, I said from the beginning, I'm fine with any of these three.
Right.
I can join the show consensus and Brian Flores. I'm okay with that. Can you?
No.
See?
Brian Flores is dead last on these four candidates that I want. One, I don't want him. Two, I don't feel like he's going to have any chance.
What if I let you win Texas. Who said it this week?
No, would I don't care that much about that.
I don't know. I just thought it. You can tell me it doesn't matter to you, but I mean, you're competitive, and I like that anyway. So I'll let you win this week if you want to jump on the bandwagon with us.
No, but a true competitor, though, like they want to win on their own merit, not because it's gifted to them, not because it's given to them. Like Michael Strahan when Brett Favre took a dive.
You haven't proven the ability to do that, though.
Like when Sonny Liston took a dive. I'm not feeling very confident about ever doing it.
Were you with Palillo at that fight?
Knowing that
that Liston fight.
I've seen highlights on YouTube. Okay. Float like a butterfly, right. Sting like a bee. Listens going down in round number three. 713-780-ESPN.
I'm the greatest of all time.
I love Muhammad Ali. Like listening to old sound bites. Yeah, he's very good. It's interesting too. Like where it all derived from was from gorgeous George the Wrestler. Mm-hmm. Like it's pretty interesting in how he marketed
his relationship with Cosell was kind of unique too. Yeah, it was like the greatest of all time, Muhammad Cassius Clay Ali. Against Joe Frazier.
I read Cosell's book, and he talks glowingly about Muhammad Ali. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we return, what's your biggest weakness? We'll explain next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5.
71-17.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So there was this story of the 10 worst foods for your health. We'll kind of ignore the story, but what's your weakness? We're all worrying about our health. Brian on beautification, Blank beautification, Brendan beautification of the killer bees as a unit. I had a TV show.
I saw the blindsided look on your face.
I had a television show to record today.
This morning?
With Fabian White, second all-time winningest Houston Cougar basketball player of all time. Mm-hmm. That was good. So
that was the extent of it. Man, his mouth got to work out today.
It was a long walk from the parking lot to the Jack J. Valenti School of
Communication. He got some makeup so that it was the beautification of Branham Day.
And since I don't lie to us, I actually got picked up on the golf cart to walk. I didn't even walk. I walked back to the car.
You decline it and go, you know what? No, I'm good. I'm going to walk it out. It's kind of like you're taking the stairs here.
No, you couldn't decline it. I was pressed on time. I was a little late, so I had to take the ride. I did walk back, though, and it's not it's not a short walk.
Were you winded?
No, I wasn't.
You know what's funny? They went to Schefter this morning via phone on Get Up because of the Brady news, and either he was working out or he had to run to his phone. He was like, so it is final. It is true. Tom Brady is stepping away. And it's like, well, Shefty, were you like, did you have the hefty bag on and you were sweating? Or?
I thought he already knew that. Like, what is he hustling to?
Well, he wanted, because he wanted to make sure he was right from the previous story. So he had to tell everybody it was actually happening.
That's funny. All right. So what is your biggest weakness? Like, what is the one food, drink, whatever the case may be, it's your biggest bugaboo from like a health point of view?
I got to believe, because of our household now, and especially with an air fryer, it's French fries. Because, like, growing up, I was a burger and fries guy anyway, in the meat and potatoes Midwest guy. But, like, of all the, like, cheat foods or whatever, if you just the smell, if I know Lisa's got, the girls want French fries and grilled cheese, and she's got the air fryer going, I already know she's going to make extra because she loves them. But I just know that it's going to be very hard for me to, like, not walk through the kitchen and go, oh, where's the fries?
So fries are mine, too. It's interesting to me, though, and I'll say a couple of others because I want to be different.
I got a couple, too.
But it's interesting that you make your own. Like, for me, fries, like, okay, I'm going to McDonald's. Like, if I want a good curly fry, Jack in the Box, Arby's, usually not craving the curly fry too much.
Beck's Prime.
Wingstop has good fries because they have, like, a little bit of different seasoning. Beck's Prime has great
Beck's
fries.
Beck's Prime, all world.
Beck's Prime's fries are better than Beck's Prime's hamburgers relative to the category. Which is an unpopular opinion.
It is unpopular.
But one I'm going to absolutely stand on the table
I'm
for.
Big on that charred grilled flavor.
Smashburger fries are good.
I've never had smash.
The smash fries, it's different. It's different because they have like herbs and like rosemary. So okay. It's like a different style of fry. But okay. It's unique and it's delicious. Like I'm a fry aficionado. Mm-hmm. But I never... So every now and then, maybe once or twice a year, I'll make my own fries. Like I'll cut up a potato, throw it in the deep fryer, make my own like from scratch. But you do this at home. You make your fries at home. Like
I don't. Lisa
frozen
does.
Bag or from the potato?
She gets the Orida.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like those that
Well,
much.
You know why? Because it gets them crispier.
Huh.
Because a lot of times when you just threw them in the oven, they never really got the appropriate crispness. Because
I'm with you.
Normally, if I'm as a fry connoisseur,
right.
There, no one does them like you can get them out wherever you
exactly.
get your favorite fries. But I have been won over by the air fryer. The air fryer changes the ability to get them crispy. And not too crispy
yeah.
and still maintain the flavor. And so I think I'll start there by saying, like, she gets the curly fries for the girls.
Yeah.
And curly fries, for whatever reason, are harder to get to, like, a good crispiness. They're perfect.
We have a Ninja Foodie, so it can do that too. But I always go out and buy my fries.
Oh, you got to try
it. Yeah, we never make the fries at the house. A couple of others that are just are, like, my things that just kill me. Hmm. Now, if I'm doing keto, I can get away with it. Cheeseburgers, just take off the bun. Mm-hmm. Buffalo wings. You don't do it breaded.
Here's my first Brendan unpopular take. If I'm going cheat meal of any kind, whether watching sports or not, wings is not my thing.
Oh, buffalo wings are like on my top three.
Nope. I would love
buffalo wings.
I would go pizza. I would go a lot of different directions before I would even consider wings.
Now, like quick bad food for you? Cheeseburgers, buffalo wings, French fries, my top three. Now we're going like elegant.
See, and I know
we won't
double up because mine is pizza. Like there are times the craving for pizza. And again, because here in Texas, it's so hard. Like Frankie's Italian Kitchen has a pizza oven. Their thin crust pizza, the crust is perfect because I like it to have a little crispiness to it. And they have mastered the ability to where the toppings don't get burnt, but the crust is crispy. But my go-to preference is a deep dish pizza, and finding good deep dish in Houston is so tough. Star is close. Pizza Vino over here, over by Memorial Park, is really good.
Yeah.
My buddy had a pizza shop that he brought the Chicago recipe, and he closed it out in Sugar Land, which was a killer to me because sometimes that craving is just for good deep dish pizza, and you can't find it here.
I'm more of a thin crust over thick crust, but when I went to Chicago, I tried a couple of places.
Giordano's?
Yeah, but I don't like Giordano's. Was not my number one.
Really?
My number one was Pequod's. Pequod's was amazing. Okay. And you know what else is really good about Pequod's? Their buffalo wings are amazing.
Well, that's, again, like Frankie's Italian Kitchen, and you guys know firsthand, like their wings, it doesn't say it, like they're not a wings place per se.
They're delicious.
But all their wings are phenomenal.
Yeah, I whenever Frankie brought them in here, I was blown away. Brendan,
it's Chris.
No, I said Frankie's Italian Kitchen when they brought it in here.
Oh, okay.
when Frankie's Italian Kitchen brought their food in here, I was blown away by
whenever
their
wings. Frankie brought him in, I'm like, no, it's actually named after Sinatra.
No,
he's dead.
No, I said Frankie's.
Okay.
I said when Frankie's brought it in. Brendan, what's on your list of things that just destroy your diet?
Okay, I got annoyed when Joel started, and then you followed him up because fries were going to be my number one.
Oh.
So finally you have a good food take, and you're annoyed because we took it from you?
We are, as Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain would say, aligned.
Yeah, there's no fruit involved, so go ahead and pick your entree, sir.
I don't mind fruit, man. It's just they're not desserts, whatever. Well, here's what I will say.
No, I'd like a strawberry cheesecake with a side of mashed potatoes and onion rings.
I have said before on the show that fast food's kind of all or nothing for me. Like, I have a really hard time doing fast food in moderation. And when I moved down here, I had not had fast food in 9 months. And the place that just absolutely ruined me, I saw somebody else eat it, and I had to try it, and then I couldn't stop eating it, was Raising Cane's. They don't have that where I'm from.
Yeah.
And it was right across from the grocery store I always go to, and it became like a weekly thing.
Raising Cane's is off the chain. I had this argument with my best friend, Sly, all the time, who believes in Zaxby's and others. I'm like, doesn't even come close to Raising Cane's.
One of my good friends is now like director of marketing for Raising Cane's, so she's going to love y'all for saying this, and I agree.
I was – when I moved down here, I was like the lightest I'd been since like high school. And then up until about 3 months ago, I was the heaviest I'd ever been in my life. And they played a big role. I am also – so I – picking from both years, it's all the same, right? It's pizza, wings, fries. Like I will say even now when I'm eating healthy, I have to get a pizza. Like I can't go more than 2 weeks without pizza.
Really?
Here's my – and Brendan, I'm with you. And again, maybe it's a Midwest thing. And again, you're not a pizza guy per
se. I like pizza, but I never crave it.
That's like Palillo not being a cheese guy.
They don't do pizza well down here. That is my opinion.
That's my problem. Like Lisa will order Domino's for the girls every weekend, right? They just love their cheese pizza from Domino's and the crazy bread, whatever else they got. But she's like, you want some? I go, no, I'm good. Because I'm going to go pizza, I want real, authentic, great pizza. I'll go to Frankie's, but that's it. For me, even that's still kind of a drive. But like, I know if I want authentic deep dish, I either got to drive to Star, which is either way going to be a half hour each way.
Yeah.
Or I'm out.
Favorite fast food pizza?
See, that's a good one. That's a very debatable by a lot of people.
Mine is Domino's Thin Crust Chicken Bacon on an Alfredo sauce.
Mine would be Pizza Hut. Because Pizza Hut seems to still get their crust right.
Stuffed crust.
Yeah, and the stuffed crust is fantastic, but you can't get it crispier. It's hard to get it like as well done as I'd like it.
Huh.
But stuffed crust is fantastic, or they have somewhat of a deep dish that because they have the right mixture of cheese, too, and sauce matters. The taste of the sauce matters, too. But Pizza Hut is better in terms of – I always feel like you get skimped on the sauce and the toppings at Domino's or at Little Caesars or at
not anymore. They have 33% more Papa pepperoni. John's.
Well, that's pepperoni. That's not the cheese and the sauce. That's the most vital, important pieces of a pizza besides the texture of the crust.
Yeah, fast food pizza is always an interesting debate. You have your favorite fast food pizza, Brendan?
I would say there's two. And lately, this is going to – you want the Brendan take here? Do you want the food take
that
everyone's going to
hate?
Well,
now that you set us up like that, obviously.
I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't planning on going here. I don't need sauce. I can do double tomato.
What?
I can use tomato instead of the sauce and enjoy pizza just as much.
So do you have to order that? I don't even know how that's possible. It's like sometimes I'll go light sauce.
You know tomato's a fruit.
Okay.
So you can't eat
pizza
for dessert.
Yeah, my pizza's not a dessert. I'm not anti-fruit. Okay. That's never been the take.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
How do you order that real quick, though?
What do you mean how? You say no sauce, double tomato.
That is weird.
Yeah, that's odd. I didn't even know you could do that.
It's not like a go-to.
Yeah, I think the pizza place is actually hocking a loogie in that order.
I didn't even know you could do that. I'll be
like,
honest.
Who's this guy?
It's not a go-to, but it's something I do enjoy.
Sometimes light sauce, but I never thought about saying no sauce, extra tomato. That's not in my vernacular.
You might as well be my wife then. No cheese, double sauce.
What in the world?
Because she's
going
a vegan. She's a vegan, so she gets
goodness.
The crust
we better
and the
go
vegetables.
To, we better go to Howard Balzer 713-780 ESPN. Howard Balzer. Pro Football
Let's
Hall of Fame
pizza.
Voter. He'll join us next. But first, a minute on Pro Dunk Hoops. It's the best basketball goal on the market. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel that you have to have. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. You can lower it, throw down some Dominique Wilkins jams, raise it up to regulation, and shoot like Steph Curry was shooting against the Rockets last night. Competition grade breakaway rim. It's perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. They also have an extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim, which keeps you and your loved ones safe. Don't have to worry about rolling an ankle on those basketball stanchions. Durability is a strength of ProDunk Hoops. They have stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and their exclusive rust armor, making them sturdy and strong, not like anything you see in the big box stores that are going to rust and break down in 12 months. The best feature, they install the goal. The pros at ProDunk Hoops will come out, professionally install your goal, perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all of the work for you, and then you can claim that you installed it at the perfect height and perfectly straight after they're done. The pros at ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options that will be a perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Call them at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Let's go out to the HRP guest line. We're joining us now, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, Howard Balzer. Howard, thanks for taking some time to join us. Tom Brady, retiring 22 years in the NFL, 7 Super Bowl championships, and 2 losses to the Houston Texans during his regular season career. Howard, what are some thoughts of Tom Brady hanging him up?
Just a phenomenal career, really. I mean, I don't know what words there are really to describe it for what he achieved and the teams he was on. Certainly the numbers that he's compiled, who knows, maybe will never be reached by anyone. It's unlikely, certainly the postseason records with the number of games. I mean, what the heck? I mean, he had the equivalent of almost 3 regular seasons just in the postseason. I think it's 47 regular season games. So pretty incredible, and obviously for a 6-round pick that, you know, everyone says, whoa, the Patriots knew what they were doing. Come on. If the Patriots knew how good he was going to be, they wouldn't have waited till the 6th round to draft him. So pretty remarkable. And I thought he would keep playing. I think a lot of people thought that, but he decided to step away, and he certainly earns all of our respect.
Do you think, Howard, if they didn't have cap issues, if he could have been guaranteed that Godwin's coming back from the knee injury, and much like they did coming off the Super Bowl, they'd return all the starters, and that all the guys that he kind of helped see their way, aside from Antonio Brown, to Tampa, that this might be a different story? It seems like he looked at the cap situation and the current roster and saw that it wasn't going to be near what it was his first year in Tampa, and maybe that helped play a part in it.
It's possible, certainly, and it could have contributed. I don't know that that would have been the driving force behind what he decided to do when you kind of know it's time, and that
performance-wise, it wasn't time, though. He had one of his best career years.
Well, that's true, and that was without Godwin for a certain part of that season. And I would think with the situation there, even though you're correct with the cap and who knows what the roster is going to look like, I think he would have been confident enough in the organization that they would have done as much as they could possibly do to continue to have the players around him that were necessary. So that's why I think it was more just him feeling that. And the one thing he alluded to was the commitment it takes and all that. And I think he probably, and certainly I'm sure he was getting a little family pressure there. And so just looking at all that and saying, hey, it's just time to step away. How all-encompassing. I think sometimes we out on the outside don't realize just how all-encompassing this commitment is that these guys do. And that's not to say that that isn't the case in other lines of work or things like that, but what football players do and athletes in general is pretty significant. And I really think that was more it than anything. There were times in New England that they didn't have the greatest player around, the greatest team around him either. Obviously, he was a lot younger then, but there were those times, and I'm sure he never entertained walking away because he loves the challenge. He loves that competitive challenge of making a team as good as possible. And heck, even last year, 2020, even with all the things that were right about the Buccaneers. And granted, it was a weird offseason and training camp and everything with the pandemic and all that. But, you know, they were a 7-5 football team with four games left in the regular season. And there wasn't a whole lot of indications at that moment that this would be a Super Bowl team. So I think that could be a part of it. And he knows just how hard it is to compete in this league. And I think overall he just figured that he just didn't want to devote that commitment to it anymore.
Howard Balzer joining us on the HR&P guest line. AFC Championship game. Cincinnati defeats Kansas City. More of a Cincinnati comeback or more of a Kansas City choke?
I hate using the word choke because that, I mean, this kind of says that, oh, these guys couldn't handle the moment, or they couldn't do this, or they couldn't do that. I just think, hey, it happened in week 17 where they had a big lead on the Bengals, and the Bengals came back and won the football game by a field goal. And so, you know, they did tie it up late. And granted, there were plays there that you look at and say, boy, how could they not score at the end of the first half? How could they not score a touchdown to potentially win the game right then when they're at the 4-yard line late in regulation? But I think sometimes when you send, so I think it's more Cincinnati, what they were able to do. This is a gritty team that certainly doesn't worry about it when they fall behind, and they just keep coming at you. So I think when that narrative is out there about a team choking, it kind of is an insult to the team that won the football game because of all they did to have to come from behind or whatever to win the game. And I give a lot of the credit to the Bengals because they just played a lot better in the second half, especially on defense, than they did in the first half.
All right, Howard, let's get to what everybody's talking about here in Houston, and that is this coaching search, and that there are candidates, and we think they're finalists now, but of the four, there's one that's getting the most scrutiny and the most attention, that being Josh McCown. Your thoughts on if Josh McCown is truly the choice of the Houston Texans?
It's interesting because I've always maintained that NFL owners, GMs, whoever it is doing the hiring, and most of the time it's a collaborative situation, that they need to think outside the box more. I've said that many, many times over the years, because all they do is they get a list. Oh, give me a list of all the hot coordinators, right? And then they hire those guys having no clue whether they're going to be a good head coach, no matter how many years they've been an assistant coach in the league or had coaching experience. I mean, people laughed at when the Bengals hired Zach Taylor, and they joke that, oh man, all you have to do is be a pen pal for Sean McVay and you'll get a job in the NFL. And he wasn't a coordinator with the Rams. And yet, people laugh when he was hired. Well, here, look where they are because they have the players. And the outbox, and I'll say this about the outside the box. I always say you should look at guys who are more leaders. You should look at special teams coaches more. Those guys hardly ever get a look. And I think a lot of times they can be a better leader for your entire team than a guy who's a hot coordinator. So for me to just rip the Josh McCown even interview because it's outside the box would go against what I say teams should do. And obviously they believe, just in interviewing him, that they think he has the leadership qualities and the personality and all that to lead a group of men and hopefully be successful, and most important, be able to hire a staff that will do most of the dirty work and do most of the actual X's and O's coaching. So I think it would be really intriguing to see if it possibly can work. But all I'm saying is, when you see some of these assistants hired, you go, well, how do they know they're going to be a good head coach? And many of them turn out not to be because they were great play callers or great this or great that, but they weren't real leaders of a team. And I think that should be the number one thing that teams look for. So you won't hear me rip it. I know a lot of people will, and they would disagree with what I'm saying, but I think it's pretty intriguing what the Texans are potentially going to do, but hey, we'll see what their final decision is.
Howard, I think Green Bay special teams coach is available for interviews if you can find him one. let me throw this at you. You said GMs or whoever's making the decisions. What if it's the team chaplain? Because that's the other thing with McCown is he's tied at the hip to Easterby, and that's why a lot of fans have such trepidation in terms of considering him as even a viable candidate.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, I can't refute that, and that is something that obviously hangs like an albatross over this franchise, and certainly it was in large part before all the other you-know-what hit the fan with Deshaun Watson, why he wanted out. And so that should be a red flag for everyone. So I can totally, totally understand that. But if it would come down to his decision and that he's the one that drives this and Nick Caserio or the owner isn't sold on a Josh McCown being a leader, then so be it. But, you know, hey, we talked about with David Culley and how Caserio said they're looking for a coach like David Culley who can help change the culture and be a leader and all those things. That's the type of coach we're looking for. Well, if you're looking for a guy like him, then why'd you get rid of him? But it's just bizarre, a lot of the things that you're doing. So this would be, it would certainly be on the list because no matter what I say in terms of giving it a chance if it happens, it certainly is unusual. You know, I can't argue that. And when you have the whole Easterby fingerprints all over it, it does raise a huge amount of questions.
Yeah, or you pretty much had the same thoughts on McCown as I did. Going outside the box, that's fine. Going with a coach that has zero experience in the NFL, hey, if you're going to be bold, be bold. The Easterby cloud is something that's dangerous and scary for Houston Texans fan. I wanted to go back to something you said about coordinators getting the head coaching jobs. Why do so many people relate those two and act like if you're a good coordinator, you're going to be a good head coach when there's really not a relation to how similar those jobs are, especially if you're not a play caller.
There isn't. Yeah, you're 100% right. And that's why it's just I continue to scratch my head over the repeat year after year after year. Just start a new cycle, and it's the same names and the same guys. And then there's new names because, you know, some other, you know, like last year with Nick Sirianni, who gets the job and did a pretty good job with the Eagles and coming from the Colts as an offensive coordinator. So he was a new name added to the list, and he ends up getting a job. So it's kind of strange that teams look at it that way. And I've seen some coaches comment on it. There's a, you know, assistant in Harold Goodwin, who's assistant to the head coach in Tampa, said some a few weeks ago, some of the things that I was saying about what these teams should be looking for something different than just automatically a coordinator. I mean, those guys are, you know, they're penned up in their room with the lights off and the tape going and writing up plays and writing up game plans. But how does that mean you can get in front of 53 guys and practice, you know, the whole roster and motivate them and get them all on the same page and all those things? There isn't evidence that can happen. It doesn't mean it can't, but it's certainly no guarantee. And then you mentioned about the play caller. I mean, look how many coordinators have gotten jobs on teams where the head coach was really the coordinator.
Howard?
The head coach was the guy calling the plays, whether it's the guys who've worked for Andy Reid, whether it's the guys now working for Matt LaFleur. I mean, it's just kind of crazy what these teams do. But they just don't have the guts or the creativity, whatever it is, to do something a little bit different. Because why I was a little upset that Joe Judge didn't work out with the Giants, because they thought they went outside the box, only gave him 2 years in a horrible situation with not a lot of talent, a high drafted quarterback that was always getting injured. And how can you really judge the job that Joe Judge did? But I was a little disappointed in that, only from the standpoint of they thought outside the box, it didn't work. And now more teams could look at that and say, oh gosh, we were thinking of doing this, but no way now, because look what happened there.
But don't you think the fact that they thought outside the box with Culley and swung and missed is the reason why you wouldn't go to that well a second time?
Well, how much can we really evaluate how much he swung and missed? When he had no roster there, I mean, what did they sign? I remember tracking this during the offseason. What did they sign, like 40 unrestricted free agents or something like that?
Cheap deals, short term.
Yeah, exactly. Virtually all of them 1 year contracts, maybe some of them two. And the one thing that, now granted, I wasn't there, I didn't watch every game, but everything that people said was that team went out there, they played hard, they played for the guy, and so that's what you truly want in a head coach. So I don't know that 1 year with this situation and that roster is a true judge of being able to say that it didn't work.
All right, Howard, before we let you go, you're an honorary B. What's your go-to cheat food? If you got one food, one time, you go to, because you don't care about the calories, you're going all taste all the time. What is it? You travel the country, you're in media rooms and otherwise, you need a good meal, you're going for that one, I got to have it. What is it?
Well, I mean, in terms of that, I mean, it's unfortunately it's more than one time. But I mean, we're talking about dessert, right? I mean,
are we though?
We
started with French fries. We got into pizza. Oh,
yeah.
Well, if you're a dessert guy, if you're a sweet tooth, that's all you.
It's Howard's decision.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sway him.
Those are pretty obvious, you know, with pizza. I mean, who doesn't eat them anyway? Even if you're watching your calories, there will be those times when you will do that. And some of the great French fries, I mean, you can't match that. But when it comes to a great, I don't know if they call them concretes in Houston.
Oh yeah,
which is a combination kind of milkshake, ice cream, and whatever else goes in them. I mean, there was one in St. Louis when I was from called Ted Drew's,
okay.
which is to die for. And so that's probably mine in terms of that. But man, there's a lot of desserts that, oh my goodness, I hate them. My wife goes to the store and she brings home the box of chocolate chip cookies. And I say, why'd you do that? You're just putting it in front of me, please. It's like potato chips. You can't eat just one.
That should be a commercial. Hey, and by the way, we only got a short amount of time, but our producer says that if there's fruit in it, it's not a dessert. So you can't go with your concretes with any fruit in it because then it's not a dessert.
Well, if it has speckles of strawberry in it, or some of those things that just adds to the taste, the rest of it still overwhelms a little bit of fruit. So
it's
the dessert
that eats like a meal. We got you.
There we go. I would respectfully disagree with that.
Howard, thanks so much for sharing your football and your food takes with us. Have a great rest of the week.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. You too.
Howard Ball is our Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. I do too. Love the guy. He's called the Wizard by our Twitchers.
Yeah,
all right, when we come back, one of the Wheelhousemen will join us. Thoughts on Tom Brady not mentioning New England in his Instagram post? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.